This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
And oftentimes those things that we reach for, that we believe will bring us relief, they end up taking from us instead of giving. And those things keep taking. And one of the best ways to take the strength out of those addictions and the things we struggle with is to share with another person face to face, you know, exactly what's going on. Who knows, like, this week what went on in your life, what you struggle with, what you gave in to? I have people that know those very things about me, and it's real important to stay current. And not wait till it becomes a 911. On each table, I have some index cards I spread out there. Those are for a request for a one-on-one. If you want to sit down one-on-one with me and Glenna or some of the team we have, my sister. And if you have some things you want to share with somebody or a concern for a loved one, a friend, a situation, we'd love to hear what's going on and sit down and get to know you, hear your story. You know, it's tough. We do some stuff. We've done some stuff at North Star and try to work with inmates, things like that. It's important to us. You know, red, white, and blue symbolizes freedom, unless it's flashing behind you. Then it's a little different. Been there. You know, they won't even give you a pen in jail, you know. Like, what are you going to do? Write yourself free, you know? Yeah. Give the guards a note. Oh, this note says he's free to go. Yeah. Signed by the president. Yeah. An ambitious police friend of mine actually pulled over the universe and asked it, do you know how vast you were going? That was a real chance there. All right. I did work last night at the grocery store, so I don't know if I have any grocery store jokes. Let me think. I got one. The Pillsbury Doughboy, he never meant to be a role model. I like that. That was good.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that. A role model. You know, it's really nice to see my wife sitting here. We haven't seen each other practically all summer, you know. It's the longest I've seen her. We were talking the other day about, you know, other people we've dated and stuff. And I was telling her about this girl I dated, and I cried so much during that whole relationship. I wasn't sure if I was dating a girl or an onion. I need to get some sleep. My wife told me that I treat our marriage like a game, you know? And that comment cost her 12 points, by the way. Anyway, tonight we're going to hear a very important aspect of recovery. A powerful aspect of recovery, and that is my mom's story. It's a story of survival and forgiveness. And I'll tell you, my mom's just a small little lady here, but she could fill the room with the power of love and forgiveness that she has walked in, and we have seen, and you're going to hear about. So many of God's answers to our problems involve forgiveness. And so, go ahead, you guys. All right, give them a warm underground welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, this is awesome. I often wonder as I pass by people I've never met, what kind of story could they tell me about their life? The reason why I think this so often is because of my mother. One could never imagine the amazing story that is represented in this woman. She has faced tragedy, war, and abuse, and yet God's enormous love pours out of her spirit. Her name is Fumiko Tanahara Born, but she goes by Miko. She's lived in Florida for over 30 years, but she was born in Okinawa, Japan. The book, Mama, Mama, Don't Die, is her life story of survival through incredible peril. From orphan to glorious adoption. But I don't want to get ahead of you here, Mom, so let's start. Could you describe a warm, fuzzy memory that you have of Okinawa as a little girl before anything bad happened? Could you tell us?
Sure. I have a sweet memory with my mother. I get up in the morning, she stand up on the step because she had such long hair. Bring all the way to front and comb, comb, comb. And we washed it again, all wind up and
put with a chopstick?
Chopstick.
A chopstick.
And now put a towel on and stay all day, just perfect. We didn't have a hairspray those days.
No hairspray.
But it just, that's how we start a sweet date.
Your sweet day. And what did your day consist of? Because you were farmers,
yep.
Right? Okay.
And then we, our ancestors get on horse and buggy. We go to the farm.
Nice.
Watch Mama doing the farm work. And that was fun, because we don't have to do anything.
That was a lot of fun. You watched everyone else work.
Watched Mama work. And that's a good memory.
You were pretty small.
Yes.
Your mom had to hire people, too,
yeah.
At harvest time. You had a lot of land, a lot of farming that had to be done. So
too many vegetables, beans, sugar cane. Rice, and we hire quite a few men to bring you all that, and then can sell.
Wow, amazing. A beautiful picture. Thank you. In 1945, the world was experiencing World War II. On your small island of Okinawa, how did you know that something horrible was going to happen? Was there warnings at school, or was your mom making preparations? How did you know? What was going on?
Well, school first, they used to teach us when you hear a noise, you put your hands and the eye and the ear, fall down the ditch, wherever you're at, right in the ditch, to silence.
So you're probably about 7 years old here, 7 or 8. Okay, and your mother was making preparations as well. So you're having these drills at school.
Yep.
What was your mother doing?
She made me one of those, I don't know what you call, hat, cap.
Like a bonnet.
Yeah, and I'll cover all the way to shoulder. And very thick.
A thick?
Cotton stuck in inside.
So it was padded like a quilt.
Mm-hmm.
Very thick. Okay.
And you have to wear those things to protect your hair.
So you, your brother, and your sister
yep.
had special bonnets made from your mother? Wow. What was the first thing that happened that made you realize that your life would change forever?
Well, you step out, look at the ocean, and just cover with the ship. There's no water. Cover with the ship, and you hear bullet.
You can
like
hear
a firework.
Wow.
Shooting the island.
There were so many ships you couldn't see the ocean.
No.
And gunfire explosions. Weren't you kicked out of your house, too? The Japanese army
yep.
took over your home.
Big house. Anybody have a big house, they got kicked out of the house. Japanese soldiers moving in. And so we just don't have a place to go.
You started running.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is reality for her. This is what she lived through. It's even listening to her. I grew up listening to this, and it's overwhelming to hear. So you began to run as a family, as a village, losing your brother and your sister right away from sniper bullets. Bombs exploding, gunfire everywhere, mud and blood. I'd like to read just a paragraph from her book. We didn't know who our enemy was or where they would strike again. We only knew that there were hundreds of ships all around the island, and the skies were full of airplanes attacking the ships, and the ships were shooting back at the airplanes. We only knew that our world was exploding, and the huge ships were always burning, and we were in a very dangerous place. Every night we kept walking in what we thought was away from the fighting until we realized we were walking in circles. There was no way to get off the island. There was nothing else we could do. We kept running and hiding. Men, women, children, and old people walking, hiding, and running, and hiding, and dying, and dying, and dying. We can't even fathom what that must have been like. I think the loss of a mother is a very difficult thing for anyone to go through. You lost your mother during this battle of Okinawa. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that?
We was hiding underneath the airplane when crashed.
A crashed airplane.
And the wind.
Under the wind.
Keep dry. Mm-hmm. Cause the plane flies over, you get a target. Something there. The men send my mother to get a water, carrying a 2-bucket. Men say, your mother's there. And I say, no, I didn't believe that. So I walk out to the bed, and she was face down, and the bucket's tip, water tip.
Sure.
And I still didn't believe my mother's there. And screaming, crying. Mm-hmm. And the men say, you cry anymore, we're going to leave you here.
It sounds so cruel to hear something like that. But that shows the sense of urgency, doesn't it? There was a huge sense of urgency there. There were also two ladies that were holding your hands while you were running.
Big in front porch type of thing, ready to hit, run, wherever. Mm-hmm. And let somebody say, run. And I try to run, but this woman not going anywhere. I hear a voice say, stay there and let go, run. Anyway, so I let go and start to run because front is all dead people, soldiers, civilians, everything. There's no ground open. So we run over dead people. And all of a sudden, there's come a little baby crawling, like try to find the mother's milk, something. And I started bending over. Somebody say, you pick up that baby, you be there. Anyway, till nowadays, it still bothers me what happened to that baby. And
that would be a hard memory to carry. It would be. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try and read another paragraph. Okay. Mothers, children, and the elderly were trapped in no man's land between the two armies. We paid a terrifying price. More people were killed in Okinawa than were killed by the atom bombs. 100 to 150,000 civilians died. 99% of us lost our property. During the first 24 hours of the invasion, the Allied armies fired 3,800 tons of shells onto the island. The islanders later called this the rain of steel from the planes and ships. They called it the typhoon of steel. The Americans killed us. The Japanese killed us. We were in the middle. We had no place to go. It sounds very desperate. So, when this battle of Okinawa was done, what happened to you? Because you're the only survivor. Where did you go? What happened?
Well, we survived hiding in a tomb with the dead people, which smell is just horrible. And it makes you just want to throw up.
Sure.
But you don't have a choice. You either get up there, get shot at, or stay there. Mm-hmm. And starve to death. And sometimes we sneak out and dig a potato.
Out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Out of the ground and eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a survivor.
Wow. So you hid in the tombs with dead people. It's either that or die. Okay, so then they called you out of the tombs when the Battle of Okinawa was done, right? What did they do with you, all the orphan children?
Well, they laying on the ocean beach. The whole mess of children lost their parents.
Sure.
And Elaine is just, anyway, this American soldier, side by side, passing on candy and chewing gum, whatever. And we are starving, so we take it and eat it. That the person told us, you eat that, you're going to be dead. But we didn't believe that, so we ate.
You were hungry.
Hungry.
It, one of the things that I remember you saying is that they gave you chewing gum, and you'd never had chewing gum before,
no.
So you just ate it.
Ate it.
You swallowed it.
Yeah.
That's what we would all do.
Ate it.
Wow. Okay. Once they got your trust by giving you candy, they loaded you up, right?
Loaded up on a big ship.
On a big ship.
Mm-hmm. And the ocean, and took us right at the other end of Okinawa, which was a big orphanage, huge building.
Wow.
That's where we got off. And we got out of there, and then women were just searching us, covered with the bugs and hair and clothes, and they stripped completely off and boiled water. Just kill everything. You don't have a choice. You have to
sure.
do that.
Sure. They taught you some life skills, though. This was interesting, trying to make your life more normal.
Mm-hmm.
What did they teach you there at the orphanage?
Well, first they teach we had to have changing clothes.
Sure.
We sew by hand to the top and the skirt and the bloomer.
Little bloomers?
I wish I give anything to have that right now.
You're an amazing seamstress now, so it started when you were quite young.
Anyway, next, we those brown grocery bags, you get it from a store.
The paper grocery bags?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We squared up, cut them up. We made a two hole and piled up and tied up and make a line to make a scooter paper.
Wow.
And that's how we study.
You had to make your own notebooks.
Uh-huh. That was really enjoyable, too.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, those lady was awesome. I think those clothes or material came from
missionaries.
America.
Wow.
I don't know where else came from.
Wow.
Anyway.
That's great. I know that your father's father, your grandfather, found out that you were at the orphanage, and he and his new wife brought you home. This had nothing to do with love, sadly, but everything to do with money. What was it like living in your grandfather's house?
Pure hell. Can't go anywhere. Can't go to school. Sometimes I hide my book under the bushes. And then spread, go to school, and then come back, I get beat up so bad. And then see how a real long silver pipe.
A smoking pipe?
Uh-huh. And right there, so you hear me? Anyway, those things go on. Every time I go to school, I got so tired of it. I said, no more school.
You really fought to
mm-hmm.
go to school for
I
a
did.
Long time.
I want to go to school so bad, but can't.
But you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure after a while you just got so far behind that
yeah.
there was no
just
sense in even trying.
Forget it.
Sure, sure. There was something that you said that your grandmother used to say to you a lot. What was it that she used to say to you?
She said, you should have been there with the rest of us. Anyway, that's kind of very unwanted feeling, you know?
Right.
I shouldn't be here.
Sure. You must have felt better at the orphanage,
yeah.
no doubt. You were told that you were going to receive a package
yeah.
concerning your dad at some point
mm-hmm.
while staying at your grandfather's house. Tell us about that.
Well, my father got caught by Red China. They got starving to death. So he finally died, and they sent me shoebox, and that was an 8x10 picture, my father. That's when I got to know. So that's what he looks like.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So he was drafted into the Army very early in life. You didn't even know what he looked like. So the only
know.
Thing you have, and you still have that picture today.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, a picture
yes.
of your dad who died in the prisoner of war camp. Right. Whew. Okay.
But there was something really interesting that happened to you in this part of your life. You went walking down the street. You had to take vegetables to town to sell, or flowers, I don't remember which, but you had to take something to town to sell for your grandparents. But God had an appointment with you that day. Could you tell us about that?
The sale on the flower?
Yeah.
Package, carry huge pot on the hair. Mm-hmm. Sell house to house. Sell 15 cents each package.
A bundle of flowers.
And then you walk all over that little place, Okinawa.
Sure.
And I did the same thing, vegetable.
Right. Right. But there was a person that passed by you.
Oh.
Yeah.
They sent me to the store. A man come by and say, God's watching over you. And I look around. I don't see anybody.
The man disappeared.
And I have an idea what happened to.
But he said.
So that's kind of stuck to my head. God's watching over me.
And that was really, truly the first time you'd ever heard about God.
Yeah, right.
God is watching over you.
Yeah.
What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Japan was paying support to surviving orphans every month. So when your grandfather and your step-grandmother got you from the orphanage, they were taking your income to take care of you. So as you got older, the grandparents now realized they were going to lose that income because you were going to be old enough to receive that money for yourself. But there was much more, a much bigger prize that they wanted. They wanted your inheritance. Yeah. That's why they took you from the orphanage to begin with. Not just to have you as a little slave girl, which they did, but to get all the properties that your parents owned, and you were the only heir to that wealth. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So, how did they take everything that you owned? How did they do that?
Say you had to marry that man. Either you marry him, or we're going to send you somewhere. You never come back here. So, teenage girl, scared to death.
You were like 16 or 17 mm-hmm. years old, and they forced you to marry someone.
Forced to marry, and then I tell you, it just step by step violence.
Sure, sure. Right. I know the day that you married, they signed all the properties to him that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It was worth quite a bit of money. We found out later, the properties. Do you remember how much it was?
$16 million.
$16 million for one of them.
Yeah.
She had many, many properties. One property was worth $16 million. So it's a miracle that you're still alive. Mm. I'm so glad you're alive. But you weren't concerned about the money, were you?
No, I can't care less about the money. Money's a problem. I just want to have a peace and happy life.
That's true. Okay, so what about the man that they made you marry? Was he a nice guy?
Mercy.
Okay, no, he was a bad guy too. She's hitting her fist. Okay, so your fighting survivor spirit kicked in and into gear, and you ran away from that whole situation.
Yeah.
You got a job. You began a new life.
Yeah.
And this is where you met Dad. Yay!
candy store.
In a candy store.
I met him at the candy store. And he said, I look at him like, hello. Pinky cheek. Very tall and slim. And I said, huh, what a cute-looking guy. And he was very nice. And the first thing he say, nanji desu ka? And I say, 15 after 1, which is he have an idea what I say.
How did you say it? Because I know you didn't say 15 after 1. He would have got that.
15 after 1, I said, ichiji jūgōfun sugi desu.
I could just see Dad's blank look.
Anyway.
He still didn't know what time it was. Then what happened?
And then he didn't say anything else because he didn't understand what I say. And he say, Eyu ikimasu ka? And he say, you want to go to movie? So why not? He's cute.
Why not? He's cute. This is really funny because this story tells the cultural difference between...
Get you in trouble.
Mom and dad. So you went to a movie and you went to see an action thriller with Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis was one of them. And then two other guys, and three guys just escaped from jail.
Okay.
They wind up deep ditch in the mud. And they're trying to climb up.
And they're all chained together, right?
They're chained together.
From prison.
Anyway, one slide started slide down, and all three of us started slide down. I just lost it. I can't help, I just lost it.
You were laughing, and everyone else is scared and sitting on the edge of their seat.
Everybody look at me, and Vern say, shh. hey, it's funny. I just keep on laughing.
Good for you. Oh, that's so funny. Okay, meeting and marrying Vern, my dad, was your closure to Okinawa.
Yeah.
Right? You moved to the United States, and literally a whole new world opened up for you.
I didn't speak hardly any English.
Spoke hardly any English. Your book talks some about that experience of coming over, and Dad's book certainly addresses this very full chapter of your life with Dad's drug addiction, and you just fought a whole nother war.
Yeah, drug war, World War II, and drug war.
It was just as bad, wasn't it?
Bad.
Just as bad.
Pretty bad. Anyway, 1980, he moved to Florida. Something like that. He got saved. And he got excited. He called me. I refused to talk to him because we had a big ranch house. Lost everything we had because of his drug. And I don't want to talk to him. I had a alteration shop at that time.
Right.
And I said, I want to talk to you. He sent me flour and anyway. 81, I got saved.
Yay!
Anyway, a big church. And the preachers talked just straight to my heart and just broke me. Mm-hmm. And anybody need to come forward, come forward. So I went forward and crying out just like a crazy. Anyway, see, he say, only thing he say, fill up your telephone number and the address.
So they gave an altar call and they just
that was it.
Wanted your name and address.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strange altar call.
Anyway, next day I get a phone call from assistant pastor at the Miko. You haven't heard a complaint about can I come over and talk to you? I said, sure. He come over and talk to me and say, you need to ask your forgiveness to Jesus. I say, I didn't kill anybody. I'm innocent. I didn't know anything about anything.
Sure.
Anyway, he explained detail and completely. Mm-hmm. And so I accepted him as Jesus is my Savior, personal Savior.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that moment, I was just beaming. Never had such a happy feel in my life. High in a kite.
Wow.
Natural height.
Take that, substance abusers.
Anyway, yeah, God gave me completely new life. Anyway, that's when...
It's beautiful. Well, anyone who has ever met you says the same thing. I hear it over and over. You are a very sweet and generously kind woman. How is it that you could go through so much pain and misery and not be bitter? How do you do that?
Well, I've been saved for quite a few years. I still had a bitterness, anger inside of me. And I know this lady told me, you know, Miko, I don't care. You've been abused so much. You need to ask forgiveness for all of people. So I went home 1 year. Forgive every person abused me. And some are already there. So I walk and get on top of the tomb. I forgive you what you done to my life.
Wow.
And ever since I am so peace, forgiveness is so important. Don't use to carry all those things inside of you.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And happiness is very important. Peace and happy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Forgiveness is the answer.
Thank you. Mom, God's love pours from you with your smile and with your words. You are such a beautiful picture
of
love and forgiveness. And there's so much more to your life story. It would take many more nights like this one to really explore all of that. A World War II orphan to royal adoption into God's kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Fumiko Tanahata Born.
Well, if you want that natural high kite, here you go, Mom. God bless you, Mom. Over there on the table, we asked my mom to bring a case of her books in Florida, if she would have the chance to do this story tonight. And if you want to give her $5 for a book to pay for her shipping and the printing of the book, you can. If you don't have it, take a book, please. I just want to pray with everybody tonight. What a wonderful night to just renew our vows to God and maybe to receive Him for the first time. Let's just pray. Father, You are a mighty God, and we just abide for a moment under the shadow of Your wings, and Your ways are so simple and profound. Forgiveness. And Lord, we just pray right now, of all the stuff we carry, things done to us and things we've done, and things we've done this week, things we've carried throughout the year, things done to us that we've carried for many years. And we just release them to You right now, just like helium balloons, we just release them to You. We just let it go. We receive Your forgiveness, Your cleansing power. We receive Your peace You so badly want to give. You've done everything for us, and we just receive it. We receive it by faith right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Mom. That was wonderful.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Miko. You know, the entire gospel is a story of what God has done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And that's why it's called the Good News. He did everything at the cross that needed to be done. And all He wants from us, from you and I tonight, is our lives. He wants our hearts. He wants our love. This song is called I Offer My Life. All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before You, oh Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaim, the joy and the pain, I'm making them Yours. Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything I've been through, use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, lifting my praise to You as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer You my life. Things in things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes, all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. Thank you all for being here tonight. Pardon me? Have a great week, and we love you all. We'll see you next Sunday.